Well, today we are in a series we've been doing here this Christmas season that we have entitled Joy to the World. How many know that joy has come to the world? Do you realize that a joy has come to the world? And if we're not careful, we'll miss it. If we're not careful, we'll miss this joy that God has sent. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago about capturing the moment. And last week we talked about sharing the joy. About sharing the joy. How many love the effects we have up here today? I love all the decorations. I even love the special waterfall we put in just for the service today. It got to be about 6 degrees last night, so it froze up around here, and now things are expanding and thawing out. So you never know when a metal building, when it freezes up, what's going to happen. So I'm going to scoot up just a little bit to get out of the waterfall. There we go. All right. Hey, we go all out for our Christmas communion service, you know. We're here late working on that, just to come in just the right time for the last song. It was just great. Well, today we're going to talk about this for a few moments, then we're going to take communion together, and the praise team is going to bless us one more song today. I want to talk to you about today this meaning of Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas. Today, there's a true meaning of Christmas, and if we're not careful, we miss it. We miss it. The Lord has come to bring us to true meaning of Christmas. And let me read our text today. We've already read part of it already today, but let's read it again. Luke 2, let's read 8 through 10. It says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be with you for all the people. Now today I want to talk to you just for a few moments on the true meaning of Christmas. And understanding the true meaning of Christmas, we can look at these three things as the angels proclaimed. These three statements that the angels made really sum up the true meaning of Christmas. And let's break them down. First of all, we realize this, that the first meaning of Christmas is, first of all, it's celebration. I know today it's a very sovereign time, and it's a very serious time. And I've even talked about the last few weeks about taking quiet times and capturing the moment, not letting the hectic rush around you, not letting the Black Fridays and the black and blue Saturdays. I got out yesterday just for a few minutes, and I tell you what, it was crazy. It was crazy, and you couldn't get around anywhere, and people, like Pastor Matt said, man, we're fighting over things and positioning for positions. And, you know, we got careful. We miss out on that. So we have to get to be quiet during Christmas and really reflect on the reason for the season, that is Jesus. But also to realize today that Christmas is about celebration. Why else do we have so many? I mean, is there another month of the year where we have so many parties? Is there another month of the year? You name another month of the year where we have so many parties. I mean, and why are we partying? We party for church. We party at work. We party at a home. We party with our friends. And we go to this house. I mean, we're just party, party, party. And we got to realize that, yes, Christmas is about a party. You realize that when we get to heaven, it's going to be a big party. It's going to be a big party. If you don't like parties, then you better not go to heaven. Because heaven's going to be a big party. And there's going to be lots of food and lots of fellowship, and we're going to have a great time. So Jesus is about parties, and Christmas is about parties. God likes to party. Do you realize that? Well, Pastor, we can't party in the house of God. And you missed out the true meaning of Christmas. Do you realize today that the Word of God teaches that every time someone comes and to the family of God, and then make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. It says the angels in heaven stop and they rejoice. I mean, there's a party that goes on in heaven when one person comes to know the Lord. God is about parties. God's about celebration, and Christmas is about celebrating the birth of our Savior. But the tragedy is this, that we forget at our party who the guest of honor is. We get so busy in our hectic schedule and getting deadlines and getting the right people there and decorating to impress our friends or cooking just right to know that our in-laws can prove to our mother-in-law that we cooked a good meal, and we got to do all this other stuff. And we get so caught up in everything else and getting the presents our kids want or getting this and that. And we forget, what's the party really about? What's the party really about? Why are we really celebrating? It's not about the man in the red suit. And I won't say anything else in case we have a few kids in here this morning. But let me tell you this. It's not all about that. I love tradition. I shared this last week. I love tradition. You'll never find somebody else who loves Christmas tradition more than I do. But tradition will not bring me happiness. Tradition can't bring me hope. Tradition cannot fill the void in my life. That only comes through Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful, we'll go through and we'll celebrate the season and forget that. So why do we celebrate? Why is it important we celebrate? First of all, we celebrate because God loves us. As simple as that. God loves us. Scripture teaches us in John 3:16, one of the basic scriptures of Christianity, God so loved the world that he gave his son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Today, God's love is based on his character. Do you realize it's God's character to love us? God's love for you is not based on your performance. Isn't that amazing? Because everybody else in our life, we feel like it's based performance, you know? If they act a certain way, then I'll love them. If they don't, then too bad. And we're always trying to live up to expectations of people around us so we can get the approval and the love from others. And here today to tell you this, that God's love is not performance-based. God's character is love. And no matter what you do in your life, no matter how hard you may try to run, how much you may try to reject him, God will, with everything within him, he will continue to love you. You cannot escape the love of God. I cannot escape the love of God. I can remember running in my life, can you? I can remember running. I don't want anything to do with that. I can remember those times in my life, but no matter what we do in our life, I can never escape the love of God. And that's why we celebrate, because God has loved us. He loves us. The God of the universe loves us. He truly loves us. We celebrate because God is with us. God says, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. God will not abandon you. He's Emmanuel, God with us. That's why we celebrate. He is with us today. Now, some of you here today, you've been abandoned in your life. You've had parents abandon you. You've had spouses abandon you. You've had people who have hurt you and have left you. And somewhere along the way, you've closed up on the inside. You've allowed your emotions to get here. And you guard yourself because you don't want to get hurt anymore. It's a natural instinct that we have as human beings to not to want to get hurt. And so when people hurt us, we build walls up around us. Well, today, let me tell you this, that Jesus Christ will not leave you. He is God Emmanuel, God with us. That's why we celebrate this Christmas, because God is with us, and he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. You can always count on him. And he is God for us. God is for you. John 3:17 says, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. What's that mean? That means that God's on your side. Do you realize God's on your side? God's not waiting there to condemn you. And many times in our heart, we feel like, I need to come to God, but in my heart, if I do, he's going to condemn me. He's going to tell me all the bad things I've done wrong in my life. And the scripture makes it very clear that God is not a God who wants to condemn you. He's a God who wants to love you and forgive you. It's grace that he wants to give to us. And that's why we celebrate, because when I deserve to be condemned, I celebrate because I didn't get condemnation. I celebrate this Christmas because I didn't get condemned, but I got grace instead. And grace is not getting what I deserve. Grace is getting what I needed. And I needed a Savior, and he sent a Savior to me. The second purpose, the second meaning of Christmas is simply salvation. It's salvation. Look what Luke 2:11 says. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. What's that mean? First of all, it means that I'm saved from my sin. I'm saved from my sin. If I will confess my sins, that I am saved from my sin. I needed a Savior. Christmas is about this fact that I needed a Savior. Christmas is about the fact that you needed a Savior. It's very clear. He says, a Savior has been born for you. I needed a Savior. You needed a Savior. And God sent His only Son to be that Savior. I love this because we have been saved from my sin. Give Him the name Jesus, Matthew 1:21 says. Give Him the name Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. Today, we've all got our list of sins, don't we? Some of you got your list of shopping you got to do, your gift giving, your grocery list. But if we could really pull out our list of sins, how many know that'd be a long list, wouldn't it? We all have a list of sins in our life, don't we? We've had to deal with it in the past. We've all got a list of sin. Now, yours may be longer than mine, but still, plain. We've all got our sins, and we've all got our list of sins that we've had to deal with. And the reason I celebrate Christmas, and the reason that we know this, that Christmas is salvation, because Christmas is about being saved from my sin. It's about being saved from my sin. Look at Romans 7:24. I like the way the Message says this in 7:24 and 7:25. I have tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. What's in the middle? If you spell the word sin out, what's in the middle there? I. The biggest thing about sin is this word, I. It's pride. We need the Savior to save us from ourselves. We need the Savior to save us from our pride. It's an attitude that I am in control and I don't need anybody else to tell me what to do. Now, don't look at me like I'm the only one who's ever had that attitude. How many know that's the very thing that we struggle with as human beings, that I can handle this on my own. I don't need anybody to tell me what I can do, what I can't do. And it's this attitude, a sin that's in our heart. That says, I don't need anybody. I don't need help from anybody. I can make it by myself. And I say to you today, you can never be more wrong in your life. You can never be more further from the truth in your life. That we all needed a Savior. If it was not so, He wouldn't have sent a Son. Do you think Jesus would have left the heavenly throne to be placed here on earth just for His health? Just because I think I'll go down there and just go and live here, man. I think I'll go and suffer all that pain. I think I'll go there and disciple all these people just so I can do it. No, we needed a Savior. Not half of us, not 20%, not all of us, the human race. We needed a Savior. And Christmas is about celebrating. And Christmas is about salvation. I needed a Savior because salvation from what? Salvation. I was saved from my sin. And I was also saved for a purpose, knowing that my salvation is for a purpose. I was saved for a purpose. He saved us, 2 Timothy says. He saved us and called us to be His own people, not because of what we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. We have a purpose in life. And you'll never be happy in your life until you realize that. No education, no degree, no promotion, no marriage, no house, no car, no relationship, and anything in your life will ever bring you fulfillment in your life until you realize that I need a Savior. And when He saves me for a purpose. And when my life becomes significant, it's not about how many things I can obtain, but it's about significance. What am I giving back? What am I giving and producing in society? What am I giving back? He saved me. And Christmas is about that very fact that He saved me for a purpose. And that purpose is spreading the good news. The Savior has come. Spreading the good news of love, of joy, that a Savior has come. And that I was once a sinner. And I was once lost and on my way to hell. Condemned because of sin of mankind. And Christmas is about the very fact that I can, through Jesus Christ, receive my Savior. Christmas is about the very fact that through Jesus, I have a purpose now. And my purpose is not only to know Him, but to make Him known. That's the hope of my salvation. I'm saved from my sin. I'm saved for a purpose, and I'm saved by God's grace. Knowing this fact about my salvation, that it's all about grace, that I can never do enough good things in my life to earn God's grace, because we're not saved by our works. We're not saved by how many good things we do in our life. We're not saved by all the actions that we do in our life. The thing that matters the most is God's grace in my life, His love for me. Pastor, no one's ever loved me. And you tell me Jesus loved me? No, yes, He loved you. He loved me. How much did He love you? He loved you this much, is what I like to tell my kids. He loved you this much that He spread His hands upon a cross and willingly nailed Himself there, allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross for our sins. That's how much He loved you. That's how much He loved me. And my salvation today is based on God's grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves." This is not from yourselves, but it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's the free gift of salvation. It's the gift. It's a gift. How many know you can't earn a gift? How many know that if you really gave your kids what they deserve this Christmas, that they'd really be disappointed? I mean, if our Christmas gifts were performance-based, come on. You know what I'm talking about. You know, if our Christmas gifts were based on how they took care of their last year's Christmas gifts, I mean, really. But how many know as parents we have a lot of grace? I don't have grace for your kids, but I got a lot of grace for my kids, okay? That's just the way we are, Edden. Yeah, we, you know, as parents, we have grace for our kids. And it's not performance-based. It's because of the grace I bless my kids at Christmas time. I do the best I can. Sometimes it's not a lot, and sometimes it's better than others. But it's the grace that I give my kids. But it's the free gift. It's nothing they can earn. A gift is nothing we can earn. You can't earn this free gift. It's given to you. The only thing you can do is accept it. But how many people this Christmas season will go through the whole Christmas season? They'll go to the party. They'll celebrate it. I mean, time stands still at the birth of Christ. It's such an important event that every time you sign a check and you write down today's date, that you're declaring that 2,008 years ago, approximately, there was a Savior who was born. It's so official, our government says this, that if you want to sign an official government document, you better sign and you better date it. And the government even acknowledges that Jesus Christ lived. No disputing that. No arguing that. Time was divided in half. But how many people will sign their check and not think about that date? How many will sign their documents and never think about that date? How many will go to the parties this Christmas and never think about the free gift? They'll drink the eggnog, eat the fruitcake, you know, and they'll do all that stuff. I mean, they're going to party it up and they're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, but they'll live out the free gift. And I think if it really looked beyond the waterfall and saw the Christmas tree, this Christmas tree reminds me of a lot of people that after Christmas is said and done and the gifts have been given out at Christmas, sometimes the best gift is still left unopened. Sometimes the best gift is still left unwrapped. It's left hidden back under the tree. Have you ever gotten a gift certificate for Christmas, only to find it a year later and realize it expired? A lot of good that does, doesn't it? You're like, oh, I could have had that. I could have had that. You know, it's no use to you then, is it? It makes no sense. And we waste it. And that's the same thing with our salvation, this free gift of salvation today. If you're here and you've never unwrapped your free gift of salvation, you're missing it. This is what Christmas is about. It's the free gift of salvation that our Savior has come. You wouldn't leave a gift, the best gift under the tree this Christmas, would you? No, you'd be tearing at that tree to give me that gift. There's one more gift. I want that. It's the best one. You wouldn't leave it there. But how many of us leave the best gift never opened? The gift of eternal life. The gift of our Savior. Today, the last thing I want to talk to you about, then we're going to close. It's this reason why the meaning of Christmas is this, is that Christmas is reconciliation. The meaning of Christmas is reconciliation. Look what Luke 2:13 says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. What kind of peace are we talking about? We're talking about peace with God. Christmas is about peace. This peace towards men. Peace with God. This is a spiritual peace today. You can have a spiritual peace in your life. Romans 5:1 says, now that we have been put right with God through faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you today, you wonder why you never had peace in your life. Oh, you've done the right things, you said the right things, and you've gone the right places, and you tried to do so many things to bring you peace. But after obtaining things in your life, after reaching your goals, after doing certain things, you still feel the void there. You still feel unease there, and you still don't feel the peace that you're looking for. Today, I say that peace can come with Christmas. It's the peace with God. And that peace will only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the peace with God. It's the peace not only with God, but it's the peace of God. God will give you an emotional peace today. And some of you here, you know what I'm talking about because your emotions are so overwhelmed. You haven't had an emotional peace in a long time in your life. And I say this Christmas is a great time for you to receive emotional peace in your life. I love this scripture. It says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry about anything. Wouldn't that be great? Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. If you do this, you will what? You will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than human mind can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as we live in Jesus Christ. Today, the peace of God is here for your emotions. He's here to put your heart at ease. The peace of God is here to calm you down. The peace of God is here to tell you, you know what? You may be going through a storm in your life, and the winds may blow, and the waves may come, but I will hold you in the palm of my hand. I will hold you, and I will protect you, and I will comfort you. I will guide you, and I will lead you. That peace comes through the Christmas story. That peace comes through accepting the Savior, by reconciling myself to a Savior. And the last part of peace is this. It's a peace with each other. It's a relational peace that God brings to us. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peace with each other. How many this Christmas could say that you need peace in your home? I'm sure this Christmas, as we get ready for families coming in and out, some of you haven't had peace at Christmas in a long time. You've had sibling problems, maybe parent problems, maybe friend problems, whatever it is today. Christmas is about reconciliation. And I just simply challenge you to this. Be the first one to forgive. It's not worth it. It's not worth the emotional turmoil that goes along with walking on pins and needles and eggshells. Because, man, there's so much turmoil. Be the first one to let it go and forgive. Yeah, but what if they reject that? Then you've done your part. You've done what God's asked you to do. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. Neither did Jesus. But He willingly came at Christmas time. He willingly came to be born and to walk this earth and to willingly die for you and I, even though He did nothing wrong. This Christmas is about reconciliation. Don't let this Christmas pass you by when you don't learn to start forgiving. Does it mean that you're going to be best friends? Nah, probably not. Does it mean that there may not still be some tension there? Simply means this, in my heart, I'm going to learn to forgive. And I'm going to try my best to let the Savior's love shine through me. We celebrate Christmas for these reasons. It's a celebration time. We have a lot to celebrate. Not only do we celebrate, today, but we know that He brings us His peace. He brings us His peace. It's about a peace in Jesus Christ. God is with us. Today we're going to take communion together. I'm going to ask our servers to begin to come forward and take their places. And as we prepare our hearts today to receive the communion of the Lord's table, what a better time than this Christmas season to say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make Christmas about the right thing. Today, I want you to do this for me. I want you to just bow your heads as they're getting ready. Just look at me. Just bow your heads. I'm sorry. Just bow your heads. No one looking up here. No one's looking at me right now. And I want to ask you this question. You say, Pastor, I'm here today. And I don't want to go any further without accepting the free gift of salvation. I need to accept God's love today in my life. And today, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I will not embarrass you in any way, but today, with all heads bowed, no one looking around but me, you can raise your hand where you're at. Say, Pastor, today, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me my sins. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else today says, I want to accept Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else want to join these six people today to say, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Or maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've accepted Jesus Christ in my life, but I haven't celebrated Christmas for the right reasons in a long time. And today, as I hear this Christmas message and the music that's going on, I want to make a recommitment in my life to say this one thing, that I want to learn to put Jesus first in my life again. I want to learn what it means to serve Him again. If that's you here today and you want to just make a rededication of your heart, can you just raise your hand also and say, that's me? Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, guys, for being honest. Thank you. Let's say this prayer together before we take communion. Let's say this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. All my pain.
All my sin.
I give to you.
I invite you now
to come into my heart. Be Lord of my life.
I will live for you.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, you say, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap. Yeah. Today we're going to, the praise team is going to come and they're going to bless us with another song. And as they bless us with the song, I'm going to invite you to get out of your seats and we're going to take communion together. And let me give you instructions. We're going to do things just a little bit different today. We're going to divide the line right here in the very middle of this section here. And everyone on this side of my left side, your right side, you're going to go to your right, cut on the right side aisle. These two sections over here, you're going to go to Dan and Davis on the end. You people are going to go right here, and then this section right here. And then, there we go. Got someone on the end over there going to go there. We're going to try to make this thing a little smoother today by doubling up our servers. And so, just be very patient. You guys are going to go this way, and you guys are going to go this way. Make room for people coming back up the aisle to get to their seats. But let's stand today. We're going to take the elements, go back, receive the elements, go back, and be seated where you're at. And we're going to take them together, and then we'll close out in a chorus together. Come, let's receive the Lord's table.
As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn, of all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find. But we never realized a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives.
We were the reason that He gave His life. We were the reason that He suffered and died. To a world that was lost, He gave all He could give. to show us the reason to live. As the years went by, we learned more about gifts, the giving of ourselves, and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung crying in the rain, all because of love, all because of love. Oh, and we are the reason that He gave His life. We are the reason that He suffered and died. To all that was lost, He gave all He could give to show us the reason to live. Sin giving every part of my heart
to Him. Every part to Him.
All that I do, every word that I say,
you know
I'll be giving my all just for Him.
Everything for Him. Lost, He gave all He could give,
all that He could give,
to show us the reason to live.
Don't you know, we're the only reason.
He is the reason to live.
Don't you know, we're the only reason that He only came to save us. When He gave His life for us, He suffered and died.
And died for your love.
The world that was lost, He gave
all.
Everything that He had, He gave.
To show us,
to show us the reason to live.
We
don't you know,
the
only reason
He gave life.
Only came to save us.
We
He gave His life for us.
Show us the reason to live. We are no
reason. You're the only reason.
He gave His life.
Only came to save us.
We are
He gave His life for us. He suffered and died.
To a world that, was lost,
He gave
all.
Everything that He had, He gave.
To show us,
the reason to live.
Father, we thank You. You have given us the reason to live. You are the reason that we take of the Lord's table today. Today, as we prepare to take the elements, we know that we are the reason. We're the reason. This is it. We are the reason. There would be no Christmas if we didn't need a Savior. But He loved us this much that He sent His Son to die for us. And He made it very clear about as often as we come together. What's that mean? Does that mean every single time we're together? Some people like to take it every time they get together. There's nothing wrong with that. We like to take it at different times of the year so to make sure that it stays fresh in our heart and it doesn't become just a spiritual habit of doing and not keeping the meaning of what it is. And so today, this is one of those special times of the year when we can take communion and say, God, we remember. We remember. We remember. You sent Your Son to die for us. We remember today that Your Son was sent. We're the reason. So as you prepare today, we find this story told throughout the Gospels, even in the New Testament, different places. But in Luke chapter 22, I'm going to read today in verse 19, it says, and he took the bread. So let's get our bread ready. It says, and he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Today, as we get ready to take of the bread, we know this bread represents the body of Jesus Christ, the body that was nailed to a cross, the body that took the stripes on his back for the healing of all disease. Do you realize that? That the stripes on Jesus' back were for the healing of our diseases, our sickness, the things we're going through in our life that, man, I need a healer. Your healer is Jesus Christ. And today, as you take of the bread, you realize this, I'm taking of the body, which was striped for my healing. Father, we thank you for this bread, which represents your body that you willingly gave up for us. And we do so today by taking it in remembrance of that. Now, when your body was beaten, the stripes on your back were for my healing, that you willingly laid yourself down on the cross because I needed the Savior. And we thank you today. In remembrance of you today, we eat together. Amen. Let's eat. In verse 20, he says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant, my blood, which is shed for you. We know this juice represents the blood of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just any blood. He was both man, both fully man, and both fully God. The only man to ever walk this earth without sin. This blood was a pure blood. The blood of a Savior. No other blood had the power to forgive me of my sins. No other blood had the power to forgive you of your sins. Except for the blood of the spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ. And today as we drink of this cup, we realize that he willingly shed his blood because I needed him to. And he forgave me. And maybe you're here today and you're dealing with things in your past and you say, Pastor, I have a hard time because I've done so many wrong things in my life. And every time I try to live for God, I just remember all the bad things I did in my past. And I feel so guilty. I say one drop of the Savior's blood can erase that. One drop of the Savior's blood, when you confess that he says that thing is gone, and it's gone as far as the east is from the west. God deletes that thing from the hard drive, never to be brought up again. That's the grace we receive. Not what we deserve, but we receive. And today when we take of the cup, we remember that grace and we thank him for that. Father, we thank you for your cup, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ, which was willingly shed for me because I needed the Savior. I needed you, and you died for me. And it's with that thought today, Father, in remembrance of you, that we take this cup together. Let us drink. Now today I invite you, just take a moment. Just close your eyes where you're at today. Just take a moment. Make it personal between you and the Lord. Thank him. Thank him for his body. Thank him for his blood that was shed for us. There you go. Just make it personal between you and him. We thank you, Lord, yeah. Father, I thank you, Jesus. I needed you, Father, and you came. You died for me. Forgive me, God, for letting other things come in priority above you. God, may I always keep you, God, as the top priority in my life. No matter how busy the season, no matter how much ministry, no matter how many things in my life, God, Lord, you're always the top priority in my life. Without you, I'm nothing. thank you for your blood. Thank you for your much grace that I needed in my life. I still do, God. Thank you for your body, which brings wholeness and healing to my body. Thank you that you died in my place. If I would receive you as Lord of my life, instead of receiving my punishment of condemnation and sin to death, that God, I receive grace abundantly in you. I receive eternal life with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. That's what Christmas is about, celebrating our Savior. Continue to seek after you, making it personal, receiving your peace today, receiving your salvation today, celebrating the birth of our Savior. This morning, I'm going to invite you to stand with us, and the praise team is going to lead us in that chorus again. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Let's make it personal today. Let's sing it. Let's adore Him.
Oh, come, no evil.
Great. Let's just give him a hand clap. Tell him to adore him today. Don't forget today to grab those Krispy Kremes and go out and share the joy of God. Capture the moment. Capture the moment. Celebrate it. Have fun. Don't be a Scrooge. Smile. Enjoy the season. Don't let the pushy shoppers get to you. Let your joy overshadow today. May God's grace and peace go with you this Christmas holiday. You have a great holiday season, a great Christmas day. We'll see you back next weekend. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.